Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience. Whoa, who would have ever thought we could get a trip to space, Jeffy?
I know. It's insane how high I am.
What?
Huh? No, from Earth, man. High up.
Wow, for a second I thought you were...
Damn it. Damn it, we only have 2 bags of chips left.
Dave, we just got up here. What do you mean?
What? What?
Hey, do you guys know we were damn near 345,000 miles from the sun? That thing was super small from here. But, you know, it ain't about the size of the dog in a fight. It's about the fight in the dog. You have to look deep inside yourself, man. You can make the...
What the hell are you talking about, Dan?
No, man. I am totally feeling that. Dan's right. Dave, you know where the rest of the chips are.
Shit. Nah.
Yo, how are we gonna eat on this trip now?
It's all good, fellas. I made us potato chip crispy treats out of the rest of those old chips in the box. Little marshmallows, little butter. You know Daddy can take care of you.
Hey, did we bring a massive rock with us from Earth?
What?
Yeah, that's getting closer to us very fast.
You gotta be like a stone. Out here, we're making changes, doing things to better ourselves. Communication is the key. It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you already paid.
Yeah, it's really close and fast.
Is that Alanis Morissette?
Nope.
You guys want a treat? That's insane. Don't worry, guys. The treats are all good. Guys? Guys?
I hate Alanis Morissette.
Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio. This show stinks.
I actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
I'm gonna shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Foods Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your niece on flaws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Mama Food is live right here on a Thursday. It's June. Who can believe it? It's finally June 2021. And Jeffy, I am happy to say, Dan, welcome to the program as well. I am happy to say, shout out to us. The pandemic is over. We have officially beat COVID. Attaboy, United States of America. Yeah. There's no more COVID here in the United States. It took a long time, but it feels damn sure good to be here, Jeffy.
Listen, man. I'm just happy. I'm just waiting for the insurrection. Things are all going in together. It's all coming together.
You're waiting for what? Some kind of erection?
The insurrection.
What does that mean?
I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure it's like QAnon.
You're not talking about that stupid nonsense either, are you? Come on.
I'm just trying to use buzzwords.
Oh, right. I'm done with you. Dan, shout out to America. Attaboy. No more COVID. We beat it.
Shout out to America.
Hey, shout out.
We wipe that shit out.
No more. It's amazing. There's no more COVID. I mean, it's so crazy how that shit works out. Man, I'm so excited to finally say that. And the fun part tonight is here on the June 3rd, actually the 14th birthday of my daughters, my friends. How about that?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out to my wife.
Yep. She's the one having dogs.
She had two human skeletons taken out of her body on this day 14 years ago.
So creepy.
Is that weird? I don't know. That's how I think about it.
Yo, did two placentas fall out or just what?
Did you eat the placenta?
Well, they didn't fall out, Dan. What are you talking about? They were gently removed.
Come out after. Oh, no, they kind of like plopped out. Yo, my daughter's was very traumatic birth of these
animals. Yo, my man says they plopped out.
It was traumatic as fuck.
There was no plopping out. Nothing plopped. Nothing plopped.
Did you eat it after it hit the floor, though?
3-second rule.
Yeah, I ate my placenta. We ate my wife's placenta.
Did you really?
Absolutely, man.
How did you eat it?
Well, I ate a piece raw, and then we put some in a smoothie. And my wife ate some every day for like a month. It helps with postpartum and stuff.
This is that crazy shit that you do that just people don't know that goes on in your house.
Man, it's like magic and shit. I love Jesus, and I eat placenta. That's what I get now.
I mean, if you drink your own blood, like, you know, you're bleeding and you suck your finger to get the blood, like, it's not really that much different.
I mean, having a nice little, inviting people over, having a little placenta pate and some cheese is kind of weird.
Well, think about it, though. The placenta is, like, pretty amazing. It's like an organ that grows and then falls out when they don't eat it anymore.
Jeffy, your mic keeps fading in and out, buddy.
Such a crazy thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, shout out to females and moms all over. How about that?
All over
the place who are leaving placentas all across America. We're big fans. We're big fans.
Yeah.
Drop
Mother's Day.
Shout out. Hey, but more importantly, you know, we do a little celebrating this week. You know, we have some friends of ours who were all military who we love dearly. Dan being included in that group. And, of course, Memorial Day was this past weekend. So we thought tonight we'd spend a little time, you know, just celebrate Memorial Day a little bit. Celebrating some of those people who are in service, who are out there defending our country, defending our rights to freedom. And as well, it's cooking in that, because that's also defending it. You got to keep people happy. They can't fight if they ain't happy, Jeffy.
Hell no.
So, big shout out tonight. We're looking forward to it. Of course, we got our man Dan here with us. But our friend, regular on the program now, Chef Cinnamon, a.k.a. Aaron Ferrios, is going to join us here in a little bit. He's resurfaced from being out for 200 days on the ocean, doing reconnaissance, recovering warheads, and basically stopping the Koreans from attacking us. Right, Jeffy?
Yeah, well, he set up a I think he worked closely with the Space Force SEALs.
Yeah.
You know, they keeping Middle Earth at bay. Right. They set up a perimeter of mines to keep the dragons from entering.
Well, they got some two towers. They got some towers they were trying to invade, weren't they?
Well, there's Mordor, and then there's the other one. It slips my mind, the name of it. But yeah, I mean, they're out there doing God's work.
Damn. Well, I can't wait to talk to him about that and find out what's up with that. So,
isn't that dude from Beverly Hills 90210 involved in that? Dude, Sharknado or some shit?
Ian Ziering?
Yeah, Ian Ziering. Yeah. Doesn't he, like, stop all that or something?
What the hell? Ian Ziering ain't in the freaking movie with the...
Sharknado.
Man. He's in Sharknado. We talk about Sharknado. We're talking about The Hobbit and stuff.
I'm talking about just random movies where some stupid shit happens.
Oh
shit.
Well, I'm excited to have these guys on and talk about a little bit. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the program, so it's nice to sit back every now and then and talk to the boys and figure out just checking in, talking about Memorial Day, figuring out, you know, the things that we, maybe some questions we've all wondered. How do you properly celebrate? Like, what's the right move there? You know, I think that's the way to go, Jeffy. I think it's a chance to ask these questions. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a great idea because, I mean, I just get shithouse wasted, and I don't know if that's the right move or not, but I just think that's what I do, and I've always done.
Just to celebrate. You're like, listen, America, fuck yeah. Let me take two beers, stone cold cheers myself, dump them all over it, and give it a big hell yeah.
Exactly. I get on a bunch of Americas. I light up some fireworks. I keep drinking. Maybe pass out. Maybe forget that it's America that I live in. I don't know.
All right.
Things happen.
Either one of those things work just fine. So I'm excited to do that and talk to the boys a little bit. And especially talk to Cinnamon because, you know, every time he comes on this program, we learn a little bit. And we learn a little bit more and more about the Navy and how living on a submarine and stuff like that. And we learn just what's important. So I'm excited to have that opportunity, Jeffy.
I love that. I love the opportunity of just hearing Cinnamon's voice because he's like, it's my favorite, pink Mexican.
See, I'm just not sure if that's okay to say. I know it's an actual thing, but it just feels like it's not something we should say.
There's only a handful of those kind of people out there, and he's like a unicorn.
I mean, there's also only a handful of the bearded ladies, and I'm not sure
exactly
if you can say that either.
Bearded lady?
Yeah.
I think it's totally, you're allowed to say bearded lady.
All right. At least until 2022.
You can't say fat bearded lady, but you can say bearded lady. You just got to be careful. You got with the first thick adjective.
Thick.
Yeah, thick is okay. Thick with
bearded lady.
If you say thick with three C's, that's like a compliment.
Thick.
All right. I'll keep that in mind next time I'm talking to my bearded lady circus friends. To get that straight. Hey, I just want to tell you guys, too, if you haven't done so yet, you got to check out Seasoned this week and last week's episode, actually, as well. Last week, we had our good friend DJ Barbecue on. We were live in studio taking phone calls. Really, really great episode. Lots of freaking really good information in there, tips when it comes to grilling. And then this week, I'll tell you, man, something I was really, really proud of, the episode of Seasoned this week. And just so you guys, to paint the picture for you here, this is on WNPR Radio. I pitched doing an episode on athletes and food and what athletes eat. And I got to have one of my bucket list items, gentlemen, happen on this particular program. I got to talk to the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, the EST of SmackDown, Bianca Belair, and had it air on NPR Radio. How fucking cool is that?
It's amazing. Man, it's amazing.
Awesome.
Dan, you heard the episode, I think, right? I saw you send me a text.
It was great. It was a great episode. So you guys were talking like your old friends, like you do with everybody. Like, the conversation was so just straightforward, chilling, two people just having a great time talking about life. But meanwhile, like, I could just picture her, like, every now and then just raising the belt over her head, just reminding you exactly who she is.
Oh, she didn't let us forget that at all. She had that 20 pounds of gold on her shoulder the entire time. The entire time. It was pretty crazy, man. And it was great to have her and talk to her and see how down-to-earth she was. I'm actually contemplating, I haven't talked to Jeffy about this, about asking if we can play a portion of that interview on the show, because it was a really cool interview to hear someone like that talk about what she's doing and how she maintains her, because she works out constantly, Jeffy. She has to.
I bet. We'll just get her on the show. I'm in the process of booking the rest of the summer, so we'll get her on. We'll get somebody from the WWE on.
Yeah, we should definitely make friends with them. I think they would like us.
We're making friends. It's happening.
Yeah, I think they would like us. I do.
We're doing things together. Eventually, we're going to wrestle a match. One match. I mean, for the charity, for the children.
In WWE? You see?
I'm not saying
that. I play Mr. Fuji, and I want to be on the sideline. I'm like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to just be yelling, but I'm going to play both sides, and no one's going to really know where I am or where I stand, and I'm going to go back and forth. And I'm like, I know this, and I know that, and I'm going to run from side to side, and I'm going to throw a chair in, but it's going to be in the middle, and no one's going to know exactly who I'm rooting for.
If you're going to be Mr. Fuji, you got to throw salt in somebody's eye.
Oh. Ooh, that's a great move. That's a solid move.
I was trying not to give that away. Like, why would you give away my secret move?
I don't know if we could actually wrestle in WWE, but what if we wrestled like David Arquette?
I would do that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Like it was like me, you, David Arquette, and his like greatest athlete friend.
David Arquette would be on our team?
No. It's for charity.
I'd be a little nervous about fighting David Arquette. That dude's tough as shit.
Oh, dude, he beat the shit out of me, but I would do it for... I mean, it would be hilarious to say, like, oh, man, yeah, I got a fucking stabbed in the jugular by David Arquette.
Put David Arquette over?
I would put anyone over if you asked me to. But listen, To be clear, you'd have to ask.
All right. So they have to ask me, and then I have to ask you.
Exactly. Gotcha. I don't talk to that, you know.
Yeah.
Their people have to talk to my people. We don't, you know.
I get it. That'd be pretty amazing. I'd love to do that. Hey, listen, Pat McAfee was on NXT and fucking destroyed it. Now, you know what he does? He's now the SmackDown commentator every Friday night on Fox and does an amazing job.
Bet he does. He's a great host, great talker.
Pat McAfee is the if you haven't heard the Pat McAfee show every day from noon to three, it is probably the greatest talk show about sports out there right now. He is changing the game. All these sports analysts you see, they're insiders and all this crap. Pat just calls the people. Oh, you want to know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Oh, let me just fucking just ask him.
Instead of
going to agents and shit. But he also says, he says in their friendship he has with his friends who are like famous athletes, he's like, I tell them they can't tell me anything because I'll fucking blurt it out. I can't keep a secret. They can't tell me shit unless they want me to say it out loud. It's pretty funny.
I love it.
Fucking great show. That's a great.
Yeah, it's program. I'm not even a sports guy. And I actually have listened to it a few times because it's really funny. There's times I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but their banter and like how they fuck with each other is just it reminds me of us, and I just love it.
There's also a lot of gambling talk, which is always fun too. I know you're a big fan of the gambling talk.
Yeah, I like a little gambling talk. It's a bit of a degenerate for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't make you a bad person. I'm hoping to get back out to Mohegan Sun and do some gambling soon because I like to gamble.
Thank you, Jesus. I would love to do that.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Well, happy summer, gentlemen. To me, summer doesn't officially start till after this Memorial Day holiday, and we are here now, and it's time to pay some tribute to our friends in service who work so hard and have done so much, and we're just so happy to be able to call them friends, especially guys like our guest here in a few minutes, Cinnamon, who spent 200 days underwater recently. But before we go to break, Dan, I want to talk to you just for a second, if that microphone isn't staticky again. To you, Memorial Day, I mean, is Memorial Day a big deal to you? Do you acknowledge it more so than like the everyday person, or is it just another holiday?
Around Memorial Day, I always think about a conversation I had with my dad. He was my stepdad, but he was always my dad. But he was a Vietnam veteran. He went through a lot of fucked up shit that he's told me about. And he was kind of the one to inspire me to want to be in the military to begin with. I remember going to see Navy SEALs with Charlie Sheen. And I was like, yo, I want to do that shit. That looks like the shit. And he would be like, oh, okay. He's like, the first time I sat down and watched an entire movie and didn't talk through it, he was like, all right, so you're into this. So then he started telling me about some of the shit he did. So it inspired me to be in the Army and to, serve my country. But one of the things he told me was, he says he never goes into VA hospital because it's very difficult for him because he's seen all the harsh realities of war and how it felt and all the friends that were affected by it. And I had to convince him to go and get help because I'm like, you have all these benefits you need to take advantage of. And it was very difficult for him to even go into the building because of how it affected him and the things that he'd gone through and the friends that he'd seen and the worst situations. And I always thought about that. And every, Memorial Day, that's one of the things that really resonates with me is I always think of my dad and I think of because he went through that real crazy fucking off the wall shit. Like that shit was just things he's told me, even things I've heard from World War II, you hear these stories and it's just it's next level and it's just you have to think about these people that gave their lives for what they believed,
Yeah.
Hey, Jeffy, let's mark it in the calendar right now. Next Memorial Day. Next year.
Next Memorial Day.
Plum Love Foods, I'll get the boys. We're going to go to a hospital and cook for the vets in the hospital.
I love it.
VA hospital. There's one in West Haven.
Yep.
We should do that.
Yep.
Just put out some big, crazy spread for them.
Yep, let's do it. I'm 100% on board.
I know.
My damn brother-in-law works at the VA hospital. It's not even a problem.
I love it.
We could use the kitchen, right?
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. We can make a big deal about it too. We can get some music or something. It could be pretty awesome.
I just have to check to see if the kitchen is how they're connected. So it'd probably be. I'll take care of it. I got you. I'm gonna write it down right now.
All we need is some fire.
Yep, I got you.
Yeah, well, that's funny, man, to see how this shit kind of hits you and takes you back like that. And, you know, it's one of those things, man, when it comes to charities and it comes to people and things, I don't know, like military vets or just, you know, military people, animals and kids, and you got me, Jeffy. Pretty much in that order, too.
Animals and then kids? You're a real piece of shit. I gotta be honest.
What the fuck?
I mean, well, I just don't. I mean, kids second. Kids second.
I mean, maybe I went out of order there. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, and you just called me a piece of shit.
Well, I just gotta be honest. I mean, it hurts my feelings when you put the things that are food over the people. I think this is a real problem. This is a real problem in our society.
People leave dogs hanging.
I would in a heartbeat. I'd eat a dog. If we were hungry, bro, and there was a dog, I mean, and dogs smell bad inside, so we'd have to soak it in something. You know, we'd have to, like,
milk.
Brine it. Yeah, salt milk. Water. Something to bring out that gamey.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait, time out. Time out. Before we talk, who's in our group? How many people are in our group?
What do you mean?
Well, if we're going to have to eat a dog for this scenario you're painting, how many people are in our group?
Well, I don't know. Just the three of us.
Just you, me, and Dan, and a dog.
Yeah. Well... He's not a dog. All right, let's just say this is even more fucked up. Ready? It's my dog. It's my dog. It's a dog that I brought. It's like Squeaky, my little black buddy. I love him. I love him to death.
What?
He's amazing. He's my little black pug.
But if you all brought our dogs.
Okay, we all have our dogs with us, right?
Okay.
And we're out there, and we're someplace, and we're lost at sea, and we can't catch any fish. I don't know. I can't think of a scenario where we'd have to eat our dogs. But if we had to,
okay,
I
first
would do
of all,
it for you.
Let me point a few things out to you. Ready?
Good.
We're sleeping comfortably, getting some rest, a long day of building shelters, making fires, all that stuff, right?
Yep.
Someone starts breaking into our camp. Is the kid going to wake up and let us know? No. The dog will let you know immediately. I take that 1 point for the dog, 1 point away from the kid.
I don't know.
I agree with him. He's right. That is one. I mean, there's kids do stuff too. Mm. I'm sure they're very talented, but he does have a point. The dog does get a point.
Well, no, I'm not going to argue with you there. Okay,
I'm just talking about usefulness here in a survival situation.
Kids are not very useful.
Let me tell you this, right? So we're in here. We spent all day making a fire. Hang on, Dad. We're making a fire, right? We're trying to keep ourselves warm, keep the animals away, cook and boil our water so that we can drink it, right? Yep. But one of us has got to make sure the fucking kid's not going to step into the fire or jump in that shit, right? Because they're fucking idiots. Is a dog going to have to do that shit? No. A dog knows it's hot and isn't going to get in the fucking fire. That's another point
for the dog. First of all, you're raising children in Connecticut. You're not raising children in a survival situation. In a survival situation... Children are also adults, so that little motherfucker has to work. You tell them, listen, fire's hot, you say it once, and that's it. And then you just gotta let it ride. Like, what happened? Yeah, burned yourself? You know why you burned yourself? Because fire is hot.
And then guess what? When that motherfucker's burned, we don't have to tend to a burn for the next 14 days.
Nah, man, you gotta keep moving. You put some dirt on it. You're raising warriors.
You guys have missed one very important factor. It's not that they didn't know that the fire was hot and that they actually went into the fire. It's that for some unforeseen reason, they had to be fucking with something,
yep.
Tripped over a fucking log, rolled into the fire.
That's it.
Now they're lit. Now you have to run in, you have to jump and try to save this kid's life because now they're on fire because they weren't paying attention where the fuck they
were. I'm charred in the back of my calf to save Dan's kid.
Hold on a second. I'm telling you right now, man, this is where y'all are fucking up, man. That's why you're raising weak children. All right? You gotta, if they're dumb enough to fall in a fire and die, so be it.
Jeffy. It's a survival scenario. They got hurt in a fire. We're all having to deal with that now.
First of all, how smart is that child? Because the smarter an animal is, the more delicious it is.
That's not true. The dumber a kid is and the younger they are, the more tender and juicy they can be. I'm just saying, a dog, when they're super thirsty, will lead you to fresh water.
What do you do? Y'all killing me.
I don't think a dog can eat the fresh. I mean, a dog will
100%.
Eat shit. A thirsty or hungry dog will eat anything.
That's not true.
That's absolutely true.
But they also would lead us, even if that dog found some shellfish that we could eat. Is the kid find a shellfish we could eat? No, they're building fucking sandcastles and falling in the fucking fire.
I put money down that if you don't give a dog water, right, for like, say, I don't know, whatever is not going to kill it, but make it real thirsty, and then piss in like a bowl, and then just put that bowl in the room, that dog's going to drink that pee.
Dog will never drink piss. They won't do it.
Absolutely, it'll drink it.
You know what a dog will do? Is if there's a little squirrely animal or something, a dog will hunt it down and kill it.
Damn right. And my dog will share.
Eat it.
My kid ain't doing that. They're freeing the motherfuckers. They're like, oh my God, no!
You can't eat that. You can't kill that.
I'm starving. The fuck?
You can't eat that, daddy. You can't. Oh, fuck. I fell in the fire.
Just remember, as long as you don't eat any of the brain tissue, you're fine. You can eat the child if you had to.
Chef Dave is chiming in saying dogs drink fucking antifreeze. No, that's only dogs in Detroit, Dave.
No, that's all dogs. He's right. Dave's on to something.
Here's the good news. We're stranded on a deserted island. There's no antifreeze, so we're good there.
Dave would also eat my dog. Thanks, Dave. Glad he's...
Listen, I just think that if we're gonna be stranded someplace together, we should probably get a couple rules set in place before it happens. That's all.
All right. First rule.
No, not now.
All right.
We got to move on.
Dogs.
All right.
But this is a very important conversation.
It is. I mean, especially the way the world is.
You know what else you can make out of kids and the trimming from the child? You can make diesel fuel.
You can't make child diesel. That's not a thing.
You can definitely make diesel fuel. Absolutely.
But kids shit and piss a lot. And you can take shit and piss and absolutely turn it into methane.
Dogs can do the same thing.
No. And dog shit and piss, not very good fertilizer. Too acidic. Kills crops. See?
We can take the acidity out, though, by distilling it. Let me tell you something right now, Jeffy. You give me some dog shit, a piece of human hair, a couple pieces of charcoal, and one ember, and I can make a bomb. We will catch fish.
Pull the fucking island up?
I swore you were going to say soap. I did not see bomb coming.
I could catch us fish with it. Waterproof bomb.
With like a little turd and some hair.
A human hair, a piece of charcoal. Yep. We have skills. I'll tell you who we should ask. I mean, clearly we all have a bit of a... I mean, Dan seems to be more on my side here, but... we have a gentleman who has survived underneath water for hundreds of days at a time. And we come back here on Plum Loaf Foods, we're going to ask that fellow right there, the one, the only Chef Cinnamon from the U.S. Navy, has returned to us from the depths of the ocean where he has been defending our country. You're checking out Plum Loaf Foods, your boy Chef
Jason
Plum.
Jason Momoa.
What? No.
Aquaman.
It's not Aquaman. Chef Plum, Chef Jeffy, stay right there. You're checking out Plum Loaf Foods. We'll be right back. Stand by, guys. Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Loaf Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com. Oh, yeah. Listen, Jeffy, I tell you what, right now, if you're looking around and you're trying to find some of the absolute freshest threads and clothes on the planet, you know where you can find those at, Jeffy?
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you tell them where they can find it?
ChefPlum.com/store.
Ooh, at that store, you can get all kinds of stuff. We have the wonderful shirt that says, Plum Love Foods, This Show Stinks. Everyone needs a This Show Stinks shirt, don't they, Jeffy?
Everybody needs a This Show Stinks shirt.
Or maybe you would like to have a wonderful Weight Mop shirt. We have Weight Mop shirts as well, don't we?
Weight Mop.
That's right. Oh, there's Dan rocking the Weight Mop shirt right now. Check it out. ChefPlum.com/store. Get all the stuff you need, all the great gear that you want for your boys here on the show, Plum Love Foods Live. Check it out right there at chefplum.com/store. Happen to turn on the news. I am not worried about shit but the money, cause you cannot buy shit with all of them views. I've been on sale. It's new, it's improved, it's powdered water.
Powdered water. Our team of scientists and water specialists have toiled many long hours to develop a complicated and proprietary formula, but the wait is over. Powdered water is here. It's totally organic. Gluten-free. Gluten-free. It's cleaner than Lake Manitoba. Powdered water. We took powdered water to the streets of New York City.
To New York City.
And let some lucky people try powdered water.
I don't get it. Do I sniff it?
Powdered water.
So I add it to my water and it makes it taste better.
Powdered water.
Powdered water is amazing. I can feel the difference now. Wow. Wait. Wow.
Is that good?
Just read it.
Powdered water.
Powdered water may cause fits of hysteria, hip dysplasia, hypertension, restless leg syndrome, lupus, loss of toes, AIDS, insomnia, demonic possession, but in some cases,
it makes me awesome.
A sizzle plate product.
Plum Love Foods here on a Thursday, June 3rd, celebrating June, the official start of summer. The official defeat of COVID. Shout out to America for defeating COVID. That's what I'm talking about there. Attaboy, America.
America.
Shout
fuck
out.
Yeah.
We're hanging out tonight with some of our boys, talking that nonsense, talking that shit. It's your boy, Chef Blum, Chef Jeff, and of course, Chef Dan joining us live here on the program right now. Boys, I want to point out to you during that last riveting conversation we were having, Chef Zip chimed in, a.k.a. our boy, Chef Carey, chimed in. There's enough methane going on with the show right now for a lot of energy. So he's got a good point there, Jeffy.
Oh, all right. All right.
Is that offensive? He's telling the truth.
I hear what he's saying. It might be true.
Hey, let me tell you something right now, boys. If you told any of us that we had to live on a submarine for the next 200 days, I don't know if I could do it. I mean, that's a tough way to go. And I just don't think I can handle it. But I'll tell you, someone who can... Our very own Charlie Sheen. How about that? I don't want to say Navy SEAL. What is that? Was somebody like drinking something? What was that? That was so loud. Oh, Jeffy, your vitamins is so. Can you mute the microphone?
What happened?
Professionalism.
What?
He has no idea. He has no idea.
What are you guys talking about? I'm drinking this delicious beer.
Yeah. Check it out. Joining us right now on the program is our very own favorite gentleman from the Navy. He cooks on a submarine for thousands and thousands of men every day. If you do the math, it ends up being thousands of men eating those meals. But he goes out there. He's fighting the good fight. He's keeping us all super safe, and he's doing it all while being 7 million feet underneath the ocean. Give it up and shout out for our good friend, Chef Aaron Furios, a.k.a. our boy Chef Cinnamon. There he is, Cinnamon. Attaboy.
Cinnamon.
Attaboy.
Hi. Cinnamon. Hey.
Hey. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, yo?
Listen, we're happy that you're back amongst everyone. You basically spent, Christmas time and Thanksgiving time in the ocean, didn't you?
I sure did. Yep. That one was a doozy.
Do you have a Christmas tree on the sub?
Oh, we made one.
What'd you make it out of?
Toilet paper rolls, paper, cardboard boxes that the fish came in, whatever we could find.
All right, maybe this is a stupid question, but how come no one grabbed any seaweed?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Because then you let water into the people tank, and that's not a good thing.
To the people tank.
Can't you just, like, eject men from the sub to collect said seaweed?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it was a fair question. Hey, how about this? Why could you use a torpedo as a tree?
I mean, I suppose you could.
think that'd be
awesome. Torpedo tree.
The torpedo just doesn't fit in the galley or a cruise mess, you know. I did make a hat out of a canvas bag and a beard out of some string and wore it all Christmas Day and pretended I was Santa Claus.
Now, did you give anybody kind of presents of any sort on the sub? Like, hey, I got you a seashell.
I did. I got you a lap dance. And then I got them chicken tenders for lunch. It's pretty good.
Whoa, did you say lap dances on the sub?
Yeah, you gotta keep them entertained, you know?
I don't know if you've seen the cake on Cinnamon, but you'd want a lap dance, trust me.
Oh, all right. Hey, Cinnamon, we've talked before about, this is a real question, about having female sailors on the boat. Were there any on your boat this time?
I do not have any female sailors on my submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer.
Let's explain it when it comes to lap dances.
Yeah, 150 dudes.
Wow. Sexy. It sounds so hot.
200 days underwater. Can you give us any idea of location? Where were you?
I don't even make enough money to know where the hell we were. We were in the water.
So much semen in the water.
That's a lot. That's a lot of semen in the water, Cinnamon. Well, we're happy you're back safe. We're happy that you were out there stopping wars. Obviously, I know that you can't talk about anything in particular, but did anything exciting happen on your journey this time? Was there any like maneuvers?
Anything exciting? We came home. That was exciting.
That's it.
Oh man,
That's always the exciting part, is coming home. Getting underneath the water is the easy part. Getting above it is the hard part.
It had to feel pretty good to come home, though. And when you left, I mean, COVID was kind of peaking and things were getting a little crazy. You come home and things are kind of getting a little more back to normal, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. We left and things were kind of like you said, at its peak. I mean, you couldn't really go anywhere and do anything, and nothing was really open. And now, I mean, shit, I haven't worn a mask in like a month and a half now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's a little personal, but how is the Navy doing it with vaccinations? Are they kind of forcing the issue, or are they giving us an option? What's the story?
It's an option for people right now. But I think eventually it's going to just be like the flu shot, where they line us up like cattle and give it to us whenever it's time for the flu shot. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
Excellent.
What their policy is going to be. But, we were all afforded the opportunity to get it if we wanted to, and that was a personal choice that we could make if we desired, and there was no, like, pressure or anything.
That's cool.
I'm shocked that's a reality, because I remember going into boot camp and them motherfuckers hit me with every fucking, they had to, you, and he, like you said, line you up like cattle. You're lined up and there's a motherfucker with a big ass gun, and I'm fucking 18 years old. This motherfucker puts that shit up to your shoulder and he's just like, ta-ta, and you don't know what the fuck it is, and you're just like, oh shit.
Yep.
Alright, and then you move on to the next one, and they hit you with another one, and you're like, what is this? And like, don't fucking worry about it. Then they shave your head and like, what the fuck is going on? Yo, it's a whole fucking experience. So the fact that they're like, oh yeah, you have a choice, that's fucking mind-boggling to me, because I feel like back in my day, they just kneeled you in the neck and be like, yo, go ahead about your day. Alright, cool.
Damn. Well, Cinnamon, one of the things that's changed since you've been gone, you need to purchase what's called an Oculus Quest 2. And
that's what Jesse said, so I can meet y'all in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that needs to happen. It's pretty awesome.
I will get right on that. I will do all my research.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. So. Yeah. Let's talk about Memorial Day a little bit there, Cinnamon. As active military, how is Memorial Day for you? Is it like same thing I asked Dan earlier? Is it something that is a big deal to you? Is it just another holiday? How does Memorial Day hit you?
So Memorial Day is not for me, because I'm still alive. So for me, Memorial Day is more about the, you know, the brothers and sisters that we've lost. That's what really it's all about. So for me, I've had a number of close friends that I joined the Navy with, not that I, you know, I met through boot camp or schools and whatever, that have that are no longer here with us anymore. And so it's always a little bit of a more serious holiday for me. I mean, I don't necessarily mind the barbecuing or whatever, but I think people kind of miss the fact that, like, you know, for people who are in or were in, it's more for the people who aren't here with us anymore. So it is a big deal, and it's not a big deal. I mean, we think about, I mean, if you're a veteran or you're still active, I think you think about that stuff all the time. Because you never know if you're going to see your friends the next day or if you're going to, you know, get that call, like somebody that you know or a loved one has passed away or whatever. So,
right. You know, I guess I never really thought about it like that. It probably really is for the fallen soldiers more so than the active duty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That goes back to what I said earlier about what I think about my dad's house, about the people that I lost. Like, he got me all emotional right now because he's right. Like, you all these people that you meet, you go to boot camp, you go to AIT, you have these little kind of situations, and then you go to active duty, and then you're kind of forced into the situation where whether you know this person or not, you're kind of like, what they have is an army anyway, is a battle buddy. Like, you have somebody that you clinch onto. And it didn't matter whether that person was black or white or, you know, what religion they were. That was your battle buddy, and you went to war with that person, and everything you did laid it around that person. And to be in a situation where you lose that person is, like, one of the most, like, difficult situations, because that was your person. Like, that's your partner. And they really kind of, like, put that in your mind that when you're in a situation like that, you have the people around you, and shit gets fucked up. And, you know, it's... That's what it's all about, is thinking about that.
I mean, what about you, Cinnamon? Do you actually get emotional sometimes when you think about this stuff? I mean, you know, especially, I'm sure you've had people you started with who aren't around anymore.
Yeah, it's humbling when you put it into perspective, for sure. Like, you know, I'm fairly fortunate to, you know, be on the front lines without actually being, you know, in the sand on the front lines. You know, I'm hidden doing whatever, you know, our mission is.
Eating
chicken fingers, giving out lap dances, you know, that kind of stuff. But
God's work.
It's one of those things. I saw a post the other day, and I had a good friend that I went through like the Navy's, you know, quote unquote culinary school with, and He passed away a number of years ago, and I've only been in for 8 years now, and it's been, I think, I don't know, it's got to be at least 3 or 4 years now that he hasn't been around. And I was like, it really kind of hit me for a second. I was like, you know, holy shit, like, I forget that, you know, I can't call up some of these guys. Like Dan was saying, like, you meet some of your best friends in the world, and then all of a sudden you are either moved and taken away from them, or, you know, or the other, you know, right, where they don't get to come home. So
that's harsh, man. That's just a crazy thought. Jeffy, where can people learn about Cinnamon on the internet? The internet always has information on people.
Well, they're going to go to the Instagram, and they're going to go to @AaronFierros.
Yeah.
How you Fierros, like the car, like the Pontiac. F-I-E Fier R-O-S.
R-O-S?
Yeah. R-O-S.
I'll do my own plug.
Jesus, Jeffy.
What? I didn't have it pulled up, and you hit me with how you spell it fast. I my phone, it's,
you
doesn't
can't
always
turn
open
around
up.
To my fault.
I didn't say it was your fault. I just said I wasn't
Why
ready.
Why are you yelling at me now?
I'm not yelling.
He did that shit to me last week, too. He's like, hey, what's the promo code? Oh, shit. I'm in the moment. Like, right. I'm feeling it.
Let me do this over.
It was natural. It was a
natural. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about our great guest tonight, Cinnamon, a.k.a. Aaron Fierros, go to his Instagram right now, @AaronFierros. That's A-A-R-O-N. FIERROS. Aaron Fierros. Give him a call. Drop in his DMs. Show him your penis. He loves that. Woo! Come on.
Oh, you know, some weird fucking DMs.
You know you wanted to be happy. You know you wanted it to be happier than that.
So look, Cinnamon, so what were some of the great meals you might have served while you were being deployed this time around? And when did you get back? Like, recently?
No, at the beginning of the year, but we've been fucking slammed.
You were supposed to call me, but you didn't do it.
I know. It's been a busy couple of months, let me tell you something.
Wait, is there underground weird shit going on with the military? Are you guys fighting people we don't know about?
No, I'm just cooking and being important. Right. My favorite thing we cooked this time around, honestly, it was probably Thanksgiving.
Ooh, what'd you make?
We fucking balled out for Thanksgiving.
So obviously some turkeys and some stuffing, but what else did you get in there?
Oh yeah. So I put a sign up sheet up in the cruise mess, which is where like everybody eats, so like the cafeteria, if you will. And I asked people to put what their favorite dish was from home that would remind them of being home instead of stuck in a tube with the other 149 people. And so I ended up doing, it was like 9 or 11 full birds. I did 6 hams, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, collard greens, macaroni and cheese, green bean casserole, stuffing.
Damn, all of it.
Cranberry sauce. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I didn't have any more room to keep anything hot, really. We did, like, 4 or 5 different types of pies from scratch. We made clover rolls. We threw the fuck down. It was pretty awesome.
Dude, that sounds awesome. But everything, like, just to recap so people who don't know, most of the things you have to be frozen or have to be, like, you know, it's not like you resurface to get some more stuff, right?
Yeah, no, like, so everything that when, so when we left, we took everything with us for Thanksgiving. So I had, like I said, I don't remember if it was 9 or 11 birds, but I had them squirreled away in a corner of the freezer specifically for Thanksgiving. And it was cool because, I gave my guys the day off. I say day off loosely. Like, they still had to be awake and around and help out if I needed them. But I let them, like, kind of go have fun and enjoy the day.
Time out. What does that mean? Because you're on a boat. What the fuck does that mean?
What does what mean?
Like, let them have fun and go enjoy the day.
Oh, so they, like, so I kicked them out of the galley, and I was like, you know, let them go, like, watch a movie or play cards or, you know, read a book or whatever, you know, since we all have times that we're supposed to be awake. So I just wanted them to have fun and enjoy the holiday, and I don't mind cooking Thanksgiving. I enjoy cooking Thanksgiving, so it was a cool way for me to get in there with the guys and, like, show them that I can outcook them and that I know what I'm doing. And I taught some guys some new techniques that they had never done before, so that was cool. So it was really good to get the guys, like, learning and excited about learning new things and how to do things so they can improve their game and then hopefully take those skills with them to wherever they go, whether it's when they get out and they, you know, can cook for themselves or their family, or if they continue on, or if they decide that the military is not for them and they want to get out and cook, that they at least have some skills under their belt. So that was really exciting too. So that was fun.
Some actually good culinary work going on there on the boat.
Yeah. I bring a culinary textbook with me. So that way, like, the guys can learn, you know, some of the jargon, and, you know, if they want to try something, they have a reference point, and something that is that they can do on a small scale, and then I can help them scale it for the crew if they think that they can right. do it. I help them do all their conversions and stuff like that.
Man, that's awesome. Can I love the freedom and chance to do more stuff. I think it's really important, especially in the culinary world, to have a chance to do that sort of thing. Jeffy, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, Cinnamon, that all sounds great. I'm glad Thanksgiving dinner was great. What's like a regular meal on like a Wednesday night? What would that be?
A Wednesday night. Let's see. It's usually like chicken or something. I can't remember what Wednesday night is off the top of my head.
Pick any night, just a regular night, like a regular night's meal. It has to be Wednesday, like a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, like it's a regular weeknight type dinner.
So Thursday nights is usually Italian, and then every Saturday afternoon for lunch we do hamburgers, and then for dinner on Saturday is pizza night. So we do all homemade crusts from scratch. We do pizzas, chicken wings, mozzarella sticks, and then Sunday is
beers?
Sunday night dinner is surf and turf. No beers.
Hey, no let beers. Me ask, can the guys eat as much as they want? Can they come back for like thirds and fourths if they want?
I encourage them not to come back for thirds and fourths because then it fucks up my sustainability numbers. So right. like I run numbers to see how many days worth of food I have on board, and that has to get reported to the captain. But in theory, yes, they can come get as much food as they want.
Yeah, but then they'd be a fat piece of shit and I'd fit in the bunk.
Yes, you're not wrong.
Hey, does the captain
I wouldn't fit in those bunks. You could have put me in one of those bunks. I wouldn't fit.
Hey,
Jesse, you've lost so much weight. I'm so proud.
I have lost some weight. I have lost some weight, but I'm still thicker than a Snicker. I'm telling you right now.
My God, I love it.
Well, I didn't realize it was going to be let's put Jeffy over the entire show, but that's okay.
Oh, man. Why are you so jelly? Why are you so jelly?
Let me ask you this. Does the captain have, like, I don't think, when we were on the ship, I don't think we saw, like, the captain's quarters. Does he have, like, his own, like, little room?
He does.
Like, with his own bathroom and shit?
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure it's not a big room because it's not a space to begin with, but have you ever been in there?
Yeah, we're in charge of cleaning it and maintaining it.
You have to clean the captain's shit?
Yeah. It's the other part of my job, the hospitality part.
Wait a minute. So what does all that entail? I'm kind of confused now, Jeffy. I might be a little upset at this. What does that mean?
I don't so cooks are in charge of maintaining officers' laundry. So we provide laundry services for all the officers on board, and then we will return the laundry to them. And then we make sure that the captain and the executive officer, who's the number two in charge, have everything that they need. And once a day, we'll go through and clean their staterooms up, make sure the carpets are vacuumed or the floor is swept, and make sure that his head's in order, make sure he's got enough toilet paper. If they need, you know, extra blankets or whatever, then we make sure we get them that stuff. And then pretty much anything else that anybody needs on board as far as, like, officers go, we take care of all that stuff.
So you, like, run a hotel basically on a sub?
Pretty much, yeah.
Damn, Jeff, did you know they did all that? I had no idea.
Yeah, I remembered when we took the tour, that was one thing that I thought was really fascinating about sub life is that everybody did, like, multiple things. Like, everybody had, you know, it wasn't, like, just the cook. They were like, a cook, this, you know, also does, like, triage surgery. Like,
you could
on,
also
you know, like,
drive the sub. Like Cinnamon, you could
yeah,
drive
like,
the
no,
sub if you had
but
to,
no
right?
bullshit.
there was like it was like that. Like everybody had to know like two or three things. You know, like everybody has like two or three roles, and then in case of an emergency, they had to step into another role. You know, like they're all trained to do like this kind of shit. Like it's pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah. So so on top of, you know, running the Chateau des Submarines, I am also part of the emergency medical assistance team. So there's only one doctor on board for the 150 guys. So the cooks get trained to do IVs and use defibrillators and CPR. So I'm a CPR instructor and a basic lifesaver instructor.
That's awesome.
And then so we'll help out with any medical stuff that needs to happen. And then I'm also qualified to be in control, which is where like the nerve center of the submarine is. So help drive and maintain the trim and stuff like that. So
that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yep. Pretty and then better. we're all trained firefighters as well.
So could you leave your work in the sub when your time's up, and could you go get a job at working at a firehouse and they would accept it?
Yeah, so most submariners, like when we're not assigned to a submarine on shore duty, work as a volunteer firefighter, and it's pretty easy for them to transition because we already know how to use all the equipment.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I didn't think about that. That's pretty cool, man. Hey, what about, do you have guns on the boat for when, like I've watched movies like Under Siege with Steven Seagal. Like I know that things happen on subs, and like you guys got to have some gear on there to defend the sub, right?
Yep.
What do you got?
Yep, we sure do.
Katanas?
Yeah. Everybody's got a standard issue katana.
Fuck.
It's awesome.
That'd be hard to swing a katana.
Yeah, no,
I would probably
bomb,
spear.
Caltrops.
Well, we got handguns and rifles and machine guns to make sure that if for some reason we needed to defend the ship, we could.
No. All right. Now, the Navy has all the new shit, though. Like, so you guys got to have, like, photons. I don't know. They always got the new shit. Every time I read something, it's like, oh, the Navy's talking about how they're going to change the game. You know, blah, blah, blah. Like, salt fuel water cell or some shit. You know, like all that crazy stuff, right? Isn't the Navy? Is the Navy on the cutting edge? All the science.
Underwater aliens.
Oh, I guess if that's what you're reading, I have no fucking idea, Jeffy. To be completely honest with you, I go to work and I look at the price of chicken, for the vendor and see what's going on, and then like, I got excited that we got a new produce vendor, so I was looking at the catalog and seeing what I could order, but. Yeah, I don't know about the new weapons system.
Cinnamon. I'm trying to paint this
picture.
I'm just
excited we got a new produce vendor.
I'm trying to paint a picture of you being like a complete badass here, and you're really fucking it up with your produce comment.
I know.
Not bad. I throw like, I don't know, cilantro at people.
You're like, do you have a dairy allergy? I'm gonna fuck you up.
Now, does anyone mistreat you on the sub? Because, like, you do people's laundry and shit, and you're the cook. Like, do they, like, oh, here comes the bitch on the sub. Like, do anyone give you kind of, like, some sort of shit like that? Like, or do they give you, like, love because you're cooking their food? Like, is there, like, anybody who, like, doesn't get it? Like, do you have any, like, newbies that come on the sub and that might, like, be like, oh, this fucking guy cooked my food, blah, blah, you know what I mean, or whatever? You ever had that kind of, like, razzing?
Yeah, I've had it before. But it's funny because when they need something, I'm the first person they come to, and they're like, oh, hey, I need this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, sorry. Can't help. My bad. I'm a super petty motherfucker. So, like, don't fuck with the guy who runs the guys that cooks your food. Like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
I love it.
Man.
Like, it's funny because, like, most of the time I sign my emails the friendly neighborhood lunch lady. So I do it to myself more than the guys give it to me, just because it's easier. It's like you're Fat Amy from Pitch Perfect. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, you call yourself fat, then you don't have to worry about people calling you fat behind your back.
Damn. That's kind of harsh, man. Dan, you were trying to chime in a little bit about something like this, weren't you?
Yeah, no, he's saying exactly what I was thinking about, is that, you know, the cooks are the bottom of the barrel. Like, back in the day, you were the ones that cleaned up the shit. Like, you cooked, you cleaned, you did everything you had to do. You were, like, you were kind of the people that got in just to, they, like, felt sorry for you. And, you know, you try to, as you're working, you try to, you know, surpass that idealism that you're not worthy of what they want. So when you cook something, I had one time where I cooked something where this lieutenant came up and I made this fish and I didn't think it was shit, but she was like, yo, this is the best fish I ever had and I'm so grateful, thank you so much, it was so delicious. And when you touch people like that, you know that you're more than that. And it's weird because you're made to feel like you're just this person that doesn't really matter, you're just kind of there. But in actuality, like, you're in the whole spine of the whole thing. Like, you're the backbone of the whole thing, and you're just running everything, and you're doing all these little things, and you're busting your ass, and you're making it happen. And it's a lot of the times the people that you don't even know that were capable of doing this is the people from all over that did the... I'm sorry. I started laughing.
Man, that's okay.
I started going on. But I'm just like, yo, it gets me emotional because I think about how I was and the things that we did. It's just I felt back in my day I was treated like shit. Like, you're treated like nobody, and meanwhile you're doing all these things and you're busting your ass, and every time you get this little bit of somebody who appreciates what you do, it means more than you will ever understand. And you really, really, really put forth the effort to make sure that everybody that you come through, that you pass, that you serve, gets that experience, to make sure that you show everyone that cooks, we're more than that. We're not just these fucking people to be stepped on.
Dan, you're right. That's what it was, until a gentleman was introduced to the world by the name of Casey Ryback in 1992. And when Casey Ryback, former SEAL, came on the scene back in the Navy, working in the kitchen, showed the world in the wonderful documentary film Under Siege, starring Steven Seagal, showed the world that cooks aren't to be fucked with on a boat.
It's true.
Jeffy, you know this, right?
I absolutely know this, man. Casey Ryback, you know, I think 6 or 7 tours.
Yeah.
Vietnam, Afghanistan, Korea. Yep. And then, you know, on a luxury boat cooking for generals. Terrorists tried to take over, but terrorists did not win that day. The kitchen won.
Yeah, I mean, literally, and here's the thing. You know, when Tommy Lee Jones is a mercenary back in his earlier days, I mean, you could see that's a problem. You know, that's Agent K you're fucking with. You got to be careful.
Yeah, to listen. Agent K doesn't got shit on the chef. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, so listen, here's the good news there, Cinnamon. While you are calling yourself the lunch lady and Fat Amy or whatever the hell weird name you gave yourself on the boat, and everyone's referring to you as ma'am, you just remember the name of Casey Ryback. You remember what he did when he saved those men. He was a cook.
There he was.
Just remember that. Listen, we've all known that you can fight an entire group of mercenaries and barely move your legs the entire time. We all know that.
True.
You don't have to move your legs if you're twisting people's arms and bashing their skulls in.
That documentary film, Under Siege, in 1992, changed everything.
It inspired me. Can't front. I ain't lying. I was like, I was hoping somebody would fuck with me up. Like, yeah, I'm going to throw a fucking knife at their face.
Jesus.
Yo. I was inspired. I wanted to join the Navy and come in as an officer because I have a college degree. I thought, fuck yeah, I'll come in. I'll be an officer, but I'm too old.
Hey, we could go in there as officers now, couldn't we?
No, we're too old. I asked.
What's the cutoff day, 36? Cinnamon?
It's like 30 or something.
It's like 32 or something like that.
We're mad old, bro. Yeah, they're like, I think it's
fucking gonna work then.
You can't come in here like all old now and like tell us what to do. They'll be like, get out of here. You're not a lifer.
You get out of here.
You're not a lifer. We're not listening to you. Fucking, they'll have like a nickname for us. It'll be like the fucking silverbacks or something. They'll make fun of the old people who come in.
Probably. And like, worse than being a 44-year-old private.
Dude, could you imagine?
That's the one thing about the Army, I'll have to say, that never, or any of the armed forces, it's like the direct hierarchy thing. Like, I have such fucking a problem with authority that, like, it always freaks me out. Like, when I hear, like, oh, yeah, you know, you have to, like, do this and this for these people and not for these people and this for that person. And I'm like, oh, man.
You can't handle it. You can't deal with it.
It starts to hit like a nerve. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like I'd be eating shit every day at times, and I would get like irritated.
Well,
but I'm
definitely
private
eating
chef.
Shit if you're on Simmons' boat. He's making delicious food. Simmons, what are you doing now that you're back on base? You're on the West Coast, right?
I am on the West Coast.
So what are you doing now on base? Like, are you working? You having some time off, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we're working. So right now I'm trying to pawn off a bunch of food on some other submarines so that way they can take it on their deployment, the stuff that we didn't eat. So that's what I'm working on, and it's stressful because people are like, no, we don't want to take it. Like, no, you should take it. It's worth it. And then it's a whole thing. What's that?
Do they get, like, a discount on their, like, on their... inventory and
rations.
Stuff, if they take the food from other boats?
No. So my boat already paid for it, and then so basically we transfer it to them. They keep account of, like, how much it costs and stuff, and then it gets added to their inventory, but they don't, like, they're not actually paying for it because the food's already been paid for, so.
Do you get any of that money back on your account? Like,
yeah.
What are your benefits from that?
I don't have to deal with it, and I don't have to inventory it.
Gotcha.
You're like, get it the fuck out of here.
So the money aspect of it is just like, I just order what I want and it shows up, and I don't know how they pay for it. Monopoly money, I guess. I'm not really sure.
Well, it's Navy money, bro. Navy money. I'm telling you, dude, they have the water fuel cell and all this magic that they're not giving to the rest of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
you know more about it than I do.
Apparently.
Simon, we've had for a couple weeks here kind of an off and on ongoing debate on this program, and we're hoping maybe I can pull you into it and get your opinion.
All right, hit me.
The hot dog, a staple of Memorial Day, by the way, Jeffy. I think that's something like 7 million hot dogs are eaten in every second on Memorial Day or something like that. It's some crazy-ass number I read like that.
Yo,
it's out of control. I love a hot dog.
You're going to get me amped up, bro.
Do you know where I'm going?
Yo.
And I had to bring cousin,
America like a glizzy.
Cousin Chef Dave getting on a program. Dave, hey, what's up, buddy?
Yo.
Say what's up to Cinnamon here. We're trying to get you on here with us.
What's good, Cinnamon? I actually texted him like last week or the week before, and he responded, and I just didn't respond back because I was like,
"You're a
busy
fucking
as fuck.
Asshole." That's a goddamn American hero right there. You didn't text him back?
Yeah, he hit me up. He was like, "Hey, what's up, brother?" And I was like, "Oh my god, what's up?" And then it was just like fucking crickets. And I was like, "You know what? Whatever, man. We're all busy. It's life."
Yeah, sorry about that, bro.
Yeah, sure you are. just wanted
to happen again.
Less than.
We've been debating here for a couple of weeks now, Cinnamon. It's kind of been a slight debate on them internets. The hot dog, you know, it's the sausage-type substance created in Hamburg, Germany, and served and promoted by Coney Island. That's served between two pieces of bread. Would you consider a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, I love these debates. We have these on the submarine.
If you want to think about it for a second, I'll go ahead and let's bring Dan in. Dan can tell you, you know, Dan can give you his couple sentences.
I think it's a taco, honestly. I wouldn't classify it as a sandwich. The bread, yeah, I think it's a taco.
Oh, Dan, what do you think?
Yo, I feel like you're just trying to get me to just like punch my wall because you get me super amped up right now. Like, yo, it's a fucking sandwich. Listen. I'm gonna tell you why it's a sandwich. Let me ask you all right the fuck now. Sausage and peppers. Is it a sandwich?
No. It's a taco. Again, it's the same thing as a hot dog.
It's a
fucking
sandwich.
Extra accoutrement on it.
It's a hero. Sure.
Sausage and peppers is a fucking sandwich.
It's not a hero. It's not a fucking hero. It's on a sub.
It's on a grinder.
Sub.
It's not taco, a fucking, apparently,
according to the Navy. The Navy.
So what makes it a sandwich?
What makes it a sandwich?
Well,
yo, it doesn't. It's bread. It doesn't fucking matter. Bread makes
a fucking
it a sandwich.
Hot dog is not a sandwich. It's a
okay. So let me hit.
Dog.
So let me hit you with this then. So is lasagna a sandwich? Because noodles are made of basically the same thing bread's made out of.
Yeah, but I'm not going to make a PB&J out of some noodles.
Yeah, your navy
you
skills.
You say you try to use some of that Navy science on us. It doesn't work.
Yeah, no, stop it.
It works.
It's not underwater. Oh, we're not under the sea.
He goes, no, it works. No. If we say the definition of a sandwich is meats, vegetables, condiments, etc., in any way, shape, or form between two pieces of bread.
All right, see you guys. Yes.
But then you could have a Jeff sandwich, and like he is a piece of meat. I could have two pieces of bread and some vegetables, and Jeff as my meat.
Let me tell you something right now. I have watched several middle-aged women call Jeffy want him to be part of the sandwich, but that's a whole other story.
It's pretty wild.
But then anything is a sandwich.
Yeah. It goes without saying earlier, listen, if we're stuck on that deserted island, I can make a sandwich. Trust me.
Yeah.
I think if we're on a desert island, I think we're eating the child first. It's like veal. It's not too... like muscly.
Listen,
fuck
listen.
That, I'm eating the dog.
If it's a lazy child, you eat it. If it wants to pitch in, and you only have to eat one. If you got a few kids, you eat one kid. The other two are gonna.
If you have extra, you space them out.
I mean, listen. That's a lot of meat. It goes a long way. Jeffy, are you hungry? No, I'm not. Oh, hey, what happened to little Billy? He went for a ride.
Yeah.
Right. Hot dog. Here we go. This is the official vote. Ready? Is a hot dog a sandwich, Dave? You want to talk about it?
No, it's a hot dog. It's a hot dog.
You think a hot dog is its own thing, own category?
Yes, it's its own thing.
Yep, I second that.
All right.
Yeah,
Cinnamon, you say it's
a taco.
I don't
think a sandwich.
No, see,
it's not a sandwich. It doesn't need to be a taco, but it's not a sandwich.
I see. It's like the English language right now. This is what it is. It's like, oh, it is, except when. So a sandwich is meat and bread and condiments, except when it's a hot dog. Then it's a hot dog.
I think this summer, whenever I make hot dogs, I'm going to refer them to people. Would you like a hot dog sandwich?
People are going to get angry.
Weird. That makes me uncomfortable.
Exactly. I feel like people are going to be like, oh, no, thank you.
Let me try this.
Yeah,
Dan,
would you like some
relish on your hot dog
salad?
Sandwich?
Would you like some coleslaw salad?
Sandwiches are all the rage. Like, y'all just ain't ready. Hot dog sandwiches at 2021. Everybody out here on Memorial Day weekend, it's like, yo, you got the hot dog sandwich? Yeah, put mustard on it. Awesome. Yo, hot dog sandwich for you? Yeah. You want ketchup? No, fuck ketchup. You don't put ketchup on your fucking hot dog. You put
That's
mustard. Right. Okay, mustard. Yeah,
you're such
work.
A angry
mustard sandwich.
Guy.
I'm just saying. Well, I'm putting it down. Mustard sandwich style. You ain't ready because it's mustard sandwich. You know?
Is
people
this,
think
is
they
this
know about the
mustard sandwich? Is that what you think it's a sandwich?
Hot dog sandwich.
I ate them on like white bread. You
no, it's,
got
a, it's a mustard sandwich. It's a mustard sandwich.
Are you eating hot dogs on struggle bread there?
Yeah.
It would be the first time. It would be the first time. White bread, you fold that shit up. That's all I had. Yo, what was the best was my mom. She would take
but it's
hot dog
one piece.
Split
you just
it in half.
Fold it.
And put it on one
bread. Dan,
you just said it's one piece. You fold it up, so you're mimicking a bun, which is not technically two pieces.
All right. So let's go back to this.
All right.
So my first memory of a hot dog was my mom slicing it in half, putting it on two slices of white bread with yellow mustard.
That's wrong.
I'm just telling you, that's my first experience.
Bro, this is some Eddie Murphy delirious shit, bro.
That's what I ate. That was like the meal of the day. It was that and spaghetti with tomato sauce. Like, that's all I ate. Like, that was the first, that was probably the first 12 years of my life was eating that shit. So, yes, a hot dog is a sandwich.
All right, fuck, it's not.
It's not, man. Your mom ruined you, bro, because it's not really a sandwich, bro.
In more ways
what
than
we need
one.
To do.
I tell my psychiatrist all the time.
What we need to do, around July 4th, Nathan's does their hot dog eating contest out in Coney Island. We need to reach out to Nathan's and get them to come on the show around that time, and let's ask them if they call a hot dog a sandwich. They've got to be experts.
See, but this is the thing. If they say it's a sandwich, I don't want to cuss out
somebody from fucking Nathan's because I'm going to tell them they're fucking wrong still.
Dave, I don't know if they're wrong. I mean, listen, we need to figure out what the deal is here. We got to go with the experts.
It's a fucking hot dog. Let's just end the story. Let's not
bring this stuff ever again. You got to get Joey Chestnut on. Joey Chestnut, he's like the fucking king of the eating hot dog.
No, I want someone from Nathan's. I want the actual, like, judge.
Oh, my fuck.
What's I want the guy from Super Duper Weenie.
That would be sweet. That would be sweet. But if they say it's a sandwich, I'm gonna be fucking like furious. I'm just gonna.
No, hot dog enthusiasts say it's not a sandwich. They say it's a hot dog. Hot dog enthusiasts are like, oh, it's a hot dog because hot dogs are special. Your fucking hot dog isn't special. It's just like some creepy ass fucking sandwich.
No, man, a hot dog is special. The memories behind it with your friends and your family over a fucking hot box of fire. It's like, how the fuck do you guys not understand? Like, the hot dog is a hot dog. Just stop. You put chili on it sometimes with some onions and some mustard, and it's
sauerkraut,
delicious.
Coleslaw. Oh,
that's getting
up.
A little crazy.
What?
I like all those things.
I don't like
all
hot dogs.
You get an all the way dog.
Oh, you yeah. Like hot dog. I want my hot dogs to look like a giant plate of nachos when I get them.
No.
Nacho dogs?
What do you mean no?
I don't like hot dogs. If I'm being brutally honest,
you haven't served any hot dogs on the submarine.
Oh, you serve some hot dogs.
No, I serve them. I serve them. I just don't eat them.
Oh. All right. Well,
you don't eat hot dogs? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, hot dogs.
Why don't you eat hot dogs?
That's un-American, bro.
Yeah, man. Hot dogs are delicious, bro. You're in the Navy, bro. It's like standard, right? You guys eat hot dogs.
It's like a rite of passage, I know.
It's like the glizzy market.
Right?
This is a hot day.
Now, when you do the hot dogs...
Yeah, hot dogs, there's usually a dude attached to the end.
Whoa. I just pictured you and some dude having a Lady in the Tramp moment with one hot dog.
There you go.
Oh, it's terrible.
Last hot dog. That's how the last hot dog gets ate on the sub.
Hey, listen, if you're on a submarine, you might as well share a wiener with somebody. Cinnamon, let me ask you this. When you do cook hot dogs on the boat, are you boiling them? Are you doing them on the flat top? What are you doing?
So I usually just have the guys boil them real quick and then throw them on the flat top just to kind of crisp them up a little bit. But what's that?
Get that Maillard reaction. Put a little color on them.
Yeah, yeah. And then I just throw them in a hotel pan and keep it moving.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, I forgot to ask you, so I wanted to ask you before we got into the hot dog conversation. I'm kind of backtracking a little bit, and I apologize. On the sub in the kitchen... Like the little kitchen that's in the sub. What kind of fuel do you use? Is it all electric? Is it propane? I mean, I got to imagine it's got to be a little dangerous, right?
Nuclear, it's all electric.
Bro. It's all electric. Okay.
Boogie, oogie, oogie.
Well, that works.
What's that?
I mean, it works, right? It's not the best, but it works.
Yeah, I mean, it gets the job done. And then we have these cool things. They're steam jacketed kettles that are also like electric/steam that we use to like make soups and boil things in.
Okay.
But yeah, otherwise, like we have like an AccuTemp griddle and some like fucking ovens from World War II or some shit. They're a fucking giant hunk of crap, but. Hey, whatever.
Hey, I love it. Cinnamon, listen, we think you're awesome, man. We appreciate you out there. We feel like the world's a safer place knowing that you're out there feeding the troops that are out there fighting the good fight. So thank you for your service. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Dan, love we you, appreciate buddy. You. Dave, I mean, we're still working on it. I don't know, buddy. I don't know.
The Detroit Dangler. Don't mess with them.
Jeffy, what else did I miss? Oh, Frank Bilotti's on hold. I apologize, Frank. We're running out of time. We're not going to get to you this week.
You know, there's one thing you forgot to mention, dude.
What's that?
That we have to thank every New York State for Memorial Day. Memorial Day actually was founded in Waterloo, New York.
That's right.
And then the rest of the nation took off on it, kind of like pizza.
They had a festival.
Yeah.
Up in Waterloo. That's where Memorial Day came from. They had a festival celebrating it, right?
Yeah, because they appreciate people. New Yorkers.
Waterloo. Great people up there in Waterloo. Amazing people.
What's New York?
it's New York State that I think we should keep. It's a larger picture.
Shout out to New York State. We appreciate you. Thank you for making that happen. Thank you for showing gratitude to people. New York State's where it's at.
Woo!
There it is. Hey, listen, boys. Apologize to Frank Pilati, who we hope to get to you next week. Jeff, you got to keep better track of time on him.
Frank, really?
Man, we're out of time.
Damn it. I know.
So shout out to
Cinnamon. Every week I feel like it's happens.
Well,
it's
I don't know if it's every week. We'll have to see. What's Cinnamon's Instagram before we get him out of here?
It's Aaron Fieros. Aaron, spelt with two A's. Fieros, FIERROS.
On Instagram, right there. Check him out there. See what's up. Give him a shout. Say hello. Well, Cinnamon, we're glad you're safe. Hey, when do you deploy again?
I don't know.
So, but not like next week. You got some time.
No, not next week.
All right. Well, good. Well, listen, stay safe, buddy. We're happy you're here. Work on that hot dog for us, man. We got to see what we're going to come up with. We got to come up with the thing, if that's a sandwich or not. We're going to figure that shit out.
Hot dog sandwich.
All right, I'll work on it. I'll see what I can find.
Absolutely. All right, boys, let's get him out of here. Cinnamon, thank you very, very much for your time. We appreciate you. And friends, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we get the time it deserves. We'll see you next week on Plum Love Foods Live.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.